Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
So what was the first thing that you did during this quarantine each morning when you got up? First thing that I did was to get on my laptop, log on to Zoom, and I joined my gym class, 7 a.m. every weekday. It was a great habit for me during quarantine because it really started my day off right. It gave me a trajectory, it gave me a schedule, and I loved it. And maybe that's not your thing, but I bet that many of you might be able to relate to this. When I go to my gym class now, whether it's on Zoom or in person, I have to really warm my body up. It's not quite as elastic as it used to be in my teens and 20s. My bones and muscles don't recover quite as well. And so that warm-up is vital to me more than it ever has been. And I have a great trainer named Danny. I told him to log in this weekend and watch. So shout out to Danny if he's watching with us today. And Danny does a great job of leading our group through a warm-up. He knows our challenges and he knows our limitations, but he also knows how to push us. So by the time we finish warming up, usually we've got a little sweat going and our joints are a little bit more agreeable. And I was just curious, just as a little point of connection, what exercises or even everyday things do you have in your life that you got to really warm up for now? I know that for me, I used to just be able to do whatever I wanted. I could play soccer all day or do any sort of exercising without really warming up or stretching. Now, especially on squat day, that's Mondays at our gym, I have to really get my body ready. It takes a few extra minutes more than usual. So if you're joining us online and want to be part of the chat, just put in the chat, what is something that you used to find really easy to do and now it takes a little bit more warm up to be able to do that. So just go ahead and enter that in the chat as you join us today. You know, we have a warm up for Mass as well. It's called our introductory rites. And the introductory rites, as we do those, it's kind of like the priest is our trainer. We don't really think very often about how important it is to start off well. It gets our mind and our body right. When Danny, my trainer, explains the workout that we're doing, he does it while we warm up. So we know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and we can be aligned. And the introductory rites at Mass do that for us as well. We know what to do and why we're doing it, so we can be aligned. That's important for a gym class. It's even more important for us as a church to do it because as a church, we're gathering as a community. We're gathering our thoughts, our prayers, our actions, and we're aligning those, especially at the beginning of Mass. Remember that last week we said that Mass is a mystery, a good kind of mystery, the kind of mystery that we want to pursue. But because it's a mystery, we need all the help that we can get to focus and find our way through the experience. So this is week two of our series, It's a Mystery to Me, all about the Catholic Mass. Last week, we read the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We read about how Jesus joins them on that road. He waits to be invited in, and then he will break open the scriptures with them along their walk. He appears in the breaking of the bread. And we talked about how Mass is where we meet Jesus. In four specific ways, Jesus is present to us in the Mass. He's present in the priest, in the people, in the word, and in the Eucharist. And we'll talk about all of those things more as this series goes along. But today, we're gonna enter into that moment that it's kind of like when I get out of bed and I get ready for my gym class in the morning. It's the first stirring of the day, the first movement. The introductory rites are stirring us. For something to stir, it means that it has to move. We stir the ingredients. Our memories are stirred up. We're stirred to action. So today we're going to walk through the Mass as stirring. And what does that mean for the Mass as to stir us? Well, when you come into Mass, do you think about what's going to stir you today? Do you think about the movement of the Mass? Or are you content to not be stirred as much? Are you content to just stay where you are? Because it's a lot easier to not move, to not be stirred, than it is to move, to change. It's a lot easier for me to sit in bed at 7 a.m. rather than to get up and do my class. But if that were the case, we would never grow, because it's the movement that makes us grow. So what stirs you? And actually, we figure that that's kind of our job at Nativity, is to stir us, is to move us in some way. We're kind of like spiritual trainers. If you can imagine when you go to Mass that Father Michael is your personal trainer. And if you know Father Michael, you know that he is gonna love that analogy more than anything. All right, so let's get into this. The Mass as stirring. Now, I use the term introductory rites, and that's theological way of saying Catholic warm-up. And there's five parts to the introductory rites. The first is the entrance song. Then comes the greeting, followed by, there's some different names for this, but the penitential act. And we'll talk about the different forms that that can take. The Gloria. And then the last thing is the opening prayer, which we call the collect. And that name has a specific reason that we call it the collect. So we're gonna talk about each of these five things briefly today, and we'll talk about the meaning behind them. And as we do, I just want you to keep that question in mind. What stirs you? What moves you in all of this? So the first thing is the music. There's an entrance song. Singing is important. We sing because music stirs us. It helps us to know what to feel and when. It lifts the human heart toward God. It unites the individual with this collective group who is uniting in that song. And it's the soundtrack for Mass. Disciples sing. Sing is one of the most commonly said words in the Bible. God's people are supposed to sing. It's what Moses and Israel did when the Red Sea opened and God opened that passage for them to walk through it. It's what David and the people did when they brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. It's what Jesus and his disciples did the night before he died. And for the past year, we've added a second opening song for a certain reason. That it takes time for us to transition from everything that was going on before we walked in the church or before we logged in to watch online to worship. And so that song, that second song, allows us that transition time. So whether it's one song or two songs, we warm up those vocal cords, we sing along. If you want to be stirred, it starts with a song. And it's during that song that the priest and the servers enter. They walk in, and for this first part of Mass, we're joined in some way with them because we're standing. We're standing because we go on that walk with the priest. We're part of the movement. Even the architecture is designed around the idea that we're moving to the same sacred space, the same sacred moment that's coming up. And during this period of time when we've been absent from the church building, it's kind of easy to forget about that little movement. But it's part of the story. We're moving together. We're moving toward the place where Jesus is going to come and meet us, the altar. So once the entrance song is complete, the priest is in place. The first thing that he does is the greeting. And this isn't any just normal greeting. It's not, hey, y'all, how are ya? There's a specific form to this greeting. The priest asks us to trace the sign of the cross on ourselves. So we're warming up our minds and our bodies. And as we make that sign of the cross, we're reminded of a couple of things. We're reminded of our worth, our price tag. So according to God, you're worth his very life, his very death, his son. The cross is the sign of Jesus' victory over death. And the second is that we're reminded that our identity comes from what Jesus accomplished for us. He's beaten sin and death. He's beaten all the imperfections of this world, and he invites us to be part of that story. So right now, just like we do at the beginning of Mass, let's make that sign of the cross together, and let's remember our price tag and our story. So let's say it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's how we begin with this greeting. And then the priest says another phrase in this opening greeting. We're going to hear this phrase four different times during the Mass. It's the phrase that the angel Gabriel used to greet Mary. It's the phrase that was given to Gideon to encourage him into battle in the book of Judges. It's the phrase that Paul uses when he greets the people in the different Christian communities that he writes to, the Galatians, the Thessalonians, the Philippians. So what's the phrase? The phrase is, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. This is the phrase that comes up when a prophet or an angel in scripture asks someone to do something that's dangerous. The angel greets that person by saying this phrase, the Lord be with you. We're going to hear it four times during Mass, and each time that we do, it's drawing us deeper into the danger, into the mission that Christ has for us. Mary and Gideon, the people in Paul's Christian communities, they were all risking their lives. And so that phrase invited them in to Christ's mission. It's going to get increasingly dangerous, increasingly more missional as we go along. But this first time, we're just asked to be receptive as we start Mass. The danger will come. And if you, like me, are somebody who can check out from time to time in Mass, just the mind wanders, this phrase is a great reminder to check back in. It's kind of sprinkled throughout the Mass four different times. So if you hear that phrase, the Lord be with you, you're being called back into battle, back into the dangerous waters, back into the mission. All right, so our warm-up is getting there. I imagine this is the point where my trainer, Danny, is spurring me on. He's saying, get that sweat going, get nice and warm. We've got a lot of work to do today. So there's three more parts to the introductory rites: the penitential act, the Gloria, and the opening prayer. Now, the penitential act is can take a lot of different forms. Usually we'll hear it as Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. And when we say those words, we can say them either in English or Greek. The Greek is Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. And those are said in Greek because that was the language that was used around the time of Jesus. So the early church would have said those words in Greek. We might also take the form of saying, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. So whatever form we take, it's like we're saying, hi, God, I'm here, I'm sinful, here's everything that I've done, and I'm sorry. Seems like an odd way to start our Mass, an odd way to begin our time together, to remember our sin. So why is that? Well, the short answer is humility. That God wants us to come with a humble heart, because we're not qualified to come to God's altar. We're not qualified to hear God's word. We're not qualified for any of this. In fact, our sin disqualifies us. We've sinned against each other. We've sinned against the host. We've fallen short. We missed the mark. But Christ says, I'm still coming, and you're invited. The penitential act reminds us that while we were still sinners, God gave us his son. What we're about to celebrate is the greatest news that we could ever receive. And so from the very start, we want to come with humble hearts to be open to what God has to say to us today. Even with our wandering minds, our imperfect hearts, we're here. And so we say, I'm sorry. and the penitential act. And we follow that immediately by saying thank you in the Gloria. The Gloria comes in part from the Gospel of Luke. So we're just going to take a quick look at the scripture that's behind this. It's the words of angels that are given to the shepherds. Last week we looked at the Gospel of Luke, but we were at the very end, chapter 24. This week we're going all the way back to chapter 2 at the beginning. And this is from Luke's Gospel. We hear from all of the Gospel writers, and really it's a voice that comes from a primary source in each of the Gospels, their eyewitness that's helped them to recreate this Gospel account. And scholars determine who that primary source is. Many think that Luke's source was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that's why we have so much about the birth narrative of Jesus in Luke's Gospel. And so it says this, Luke chapter 2. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. Now, the shepherds were unlikely people to be chosen by God. They were unlikely because they were out in the fields, they were isolated, and God chooses them. The angel appears to them, and they're scared. And maybe you can relate to that feeling. Maybe you felt moved by God before, but you were afraid to respond. Maybe you felt unlikely to be chosen. You weren't sure if you wanted to follow God or what it would cost you to follow God, but the angels are reassuring. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Boiled down, that's the message of the angel here. Do not be afraid. It's the most repeated phrase in Scripture. "For behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord." The reason that we don't have to be afraid is that we have a Savior. And that Savior has come to us. And if God didn't want us to be afraid, well, he sent that Savior as a baby. So we couldn't be afraid. Who's afraid of a child, right? And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, this story is so familiar to us that the power of that statement might be lost. So let me just pause here for a second, because the Savior of the world, the one who is going to save all of humanity, is a baby lying in a trough, wrapped in a blanket, swaddled there, completely helpless and vulnerable. That's how much God trusts us with the story. And if that wasn't enough, God has sent reinforcements. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God. There is an army of angels that's surrounding us, the same way that they surrounded the shepherds, because at this point, these shepherds are scared. They have to give up a lot to go and follow this star. And in fact, this is the star that will guide their path through the night, but also guide their path through life. So just like the shepherds, we have an army of angels that arrives at Mass with us. When we pray that Gloria at the beginning of Mass, the angels are cheering us on, and we're actually joining in their song as they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The army of angels is singing that with us as we give thanks. We give thanks for so many things in the Mass. We give thanks that God has sent his Son. We give thanks that God has sent his Holy Spirit. We give thanks that our sins are forgiven. We give thanks that we have access through this God who has come to be a baby, who has come to meet us exactly where we are. And now, after singing this Gloria, we are almost fully warmed up. We're aligned. We're ready. We know what we're doing and why we're doing it. There's just one more part of these introductory rites. And the element, this last part, is called the collect. And the collect, this is where the priest says, "Let us pray." And then he prays the opening prayer. And when he does, he collects all of the prayers that we bring with us for our lives, for our loved ones, for our faith, for our focus, whatever it is we're praying for today, the priest collects all of those things in this opening prayer. It gives us just a little preview of what is to come in the theme for the day. And then our introductory rites conclude. All right, so this is the point where we take a deep breath. For the first time in Mass, we can all be seated. And at this point, we've been primed, we've been warmed up, just like my trainer Danny does with our group. When we warm up, our group is now aligned. The introductory rites really are our chance to say three things, three basic things at the beginning of Mass. It's our chance to say, I'm sorry for, thank you for, let's pray for. And this week, these three things are what I'm going to challenge you to bring into your quiet time with God each day, to pray just for 5 minutes and to have a conversation with Jesus and to begin with these three things. I'm going to journal. I expect that to take no more than 5 minutes. And as we do, it unites us to the Mass. We're mimicking what we experience in Mass, but also it warms us up to have a great experience at Mass next weekend. So just start there. Have a conversation with Jesus each day this week and start with, I'm sorry, thank you, and let's pray. Well, listen, we're just getting warmed up. There is so much more to explore about the Mass. So come back next weekend. We're going to hear that phrase that we heard today for the first time, the Lord be with you. We'll hear it for a second time. Our mission will continue. And I don't want to leave you without reminding you about an opportunity that we're giving to you this week. That is to participate in our kids and student programs in the coming year. If you feel stirred by what's going on with our kids and students, by the idea that we have almost 1,000 teens and kids in our programs week to week, and we need a lot of leaders to help us to guide them, to walk with them, to create relationships with them so that they can continue to grow and be moved in their faith. If that stirs you, we want to talk to you just for a few minutes after Mass today, after this message and after the final song concludes. So log in. We have our family ministry drop-in. It's real easy to join our staff and a few of our ministers, ask some questions, maybe find out a little bit more. There's no commitment up front today, but we'll tell you how to take next steps if that's what you want to do. So join us after Mass. You can do that by going to churchnativity.com/family and just give us a couple of minutes of your time. Now, let's align our hearts and our minds one last time today and pray together. Jesus, thank you for meeting us in the Mass in so many different ways, especially these introductory rites where we align our hearts and our minds around you as a community. We pray this week that we can come to you each time, each day, with those three little thoughts. I'm sorry, thank you, and let's pray. Be with us this week and help us to take you with us wherever we go. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.